my name, you, I can use the Kali Wong. I identify as a queer. My pronoun is they, their, them. And only in very political, critical situations I do identify as a lesbian. And the time being, I'm located in Egypt. I came back to Egypt last year. Before this, I was in Johannesburg for 2 years. And there was this opportunity of working on sexuality, which is something I really miss working on in Egypt, because Egypt is very tight and things are very hard and difficult.
I don't really have a specific role in a humanitarian organization or LGBT organization. I work with a lot of entities that either are NGOs or collectives that is basically human rights and partially LGBTIQ.
But I've learned that it was Mashrua Layla, or Layla's Project, that is a Lebanese band, quite a progressive, and their lead singer is openly gay. They were in Egypt holding this concert, and then some Egyptians, or others, I'm not sure, but I know that some of them, they were Egyptians, and they held the rainbow flag. In the first couple of days, some people were very proud of this action, and they were exchanging the photos and the news about it, and then it started to turn against us, against everyone, because there was a lot of people who did not like what happened, specifically that we live under a fascist government nowadays in Egypt. Some of those who held the flag, they had their faces shown. They were very clear. So they were arrested, and then they started the crackdown. And I know that the number reached 60-something or 70. But one place like the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights and other independent lawyers said it's 50-something. And then there is this draft for a new law to make punishments more tough for LGBTIQ individuals, anybody who believes in homosexuality, anybody who advocates for it, and anybody who might pretend to be one of them. And as you see, it's very brutal, and it just comes out of a typical fascist government. So it's complete fascism. And this is how fascism works. They first start with the minorities or the most vulnerable groups, and then they get into the core of the community. The Egyptian government took, since the Muslim Brotherhood are gone, there was this challenge of, we are more ethical and we have more manners, and we held into our religion more than Muslim Brotherhood. So there is all this conservatism that is in every aspect of the daily life. So that's one thing to it. And the other thing is that making a fuss out of nothing. So what is happening now is that keeping people busy among us, the price, the economical crisis that we are facing, the political changes that is taking place within the region, all these movements of the Saudi and the Qatar and Yemen and occupied Palestine or Israel. It's all, so there's this thing, there's this bomb to throw for a community so they are busy where other bigger things are taking place or other bigger problems are not being solved and there's no highlight on it. I know that fascism works in a way of intimidating. So when they do this with homosexuals and even threatening anybody who wants to advocate for those rights, it makes an individual, a citizen, things 1,000 times before going out and speaking about a certain right. That this is what they want. This is what they are succeeding to do. A lot of people are fleeing the country. A lot of people are just want to be silent. A lot of people are like, they cannot find an escape out of it. So that was, that is one part. The other part, and I think it's quite positive, what I will talk about is that not only the civil society and not only those who are academics or artists or activists or anyone who's interested in organizing communities or into the mere idea of rights, the main person who's in prison in the moment because of the rainbow flag is a heterosexual guy. Of course, it's controversial. It's something very interesting to think about. And the girl, Tara, is bisexual. I didn't know. I thought that she's only hetero, but then I learned that she's a bisexual. And this is, in a way, is telling us that there are certain change happening 7 years post-revolution, 7 years post this big fail that we carry within us, that we feel like we failed and everything collapsed and things got way worse than before. I try to be brief as much as I can, but going through the history, starting from Nasser era, the way Nasser forced Jewish people to get outside of Egypt by withdrawing their Egyptian passports and their identity, the way Nasser faked certain liberties and sold certain liberties to Egyptians, like allowing women to work and to have a space within the public arena, the public atmosphere, and it was not real, it was not genuine because there was still lots of conservatism, there was a lot of shaming, there was a lot of specific gender rules and so much sexism and classism and all other of vicious isms that Nasser sold to us, and it stayed there through the years. It got into us here now in a worse way ever. So oppression from the government, it does not only include governmental institutions. The matter of fact, it's affecting the daily life of a human being who lives in Egypt. And if you are a woman, it's going to be bigger layer. If you are an LGBTIQ individual, it's going to be another layer. And of course, you keep adding layers. If you are Nubian or a person of a color, if you are poor, if you are coming from no education background, etc. For me, because I used to listen to all these stories from my grandparents about the cosmopolitan Egypt and how the Swiss had bad economy, so they started to come to Egypt to make money and prosper. And how it used to be this mixed, and of course it has its share of lots of problems, but again, there was this space for any person of any color, of any, I guess there was so much racism as well back in those days, but at least there was an acceptance for Jewish, for foreigners. There was no xenophobia. Women used to wear whatever they want. There was bars everywhere. People can drink. There was a focus on workers and laborers and stuff. And all of that vanished, almost vanished. And of course, all the disappointments of the left parties or leftist parties or leftist collectives, it's so much disappointing. It has so much work to do and they never do it. Regarding the sexism, regarding classism, regarding the fair distribution of wealth, it's a lot of shit that is nothing is doing anything for it, and it makes me really frustrated, because when I think about it, I can't help myself to compare between people who are lefties and others who are like the Muslim Brotherhood. They started in the 70s. They infiltrated each single neighborhood, giving essential medical access and clothing and education. They even paid for pilgrims for some people. A pilgrim is, the Hajj trip is really expensive and it's really big for a Muslim. And of course, Muslims are the majority. And this is how they gained the trust of majority of Egyptians. And it did not only end here. It even gone through lots of other places within the region. And it makes me think, how come those who call themselves lefties or even at that end of the spectrum, how come we cannot organize them anyway? How come we're always disappointed? I think it has to do partially with the oppression, has to do with the circumstances, has to do with strategizing plans and how to work it out. But I just keep thinking about it, and it really gives me so much frustration. Completely different, because it was a dictatorship back then as well, but it was not as fascist as it is nowadays. And in the Queen Book, there were some complicated equations of some personal revenges, and when there was some pressure from the foreign or outside governments, it worked better. Instead of jailing 52 men, only 26 men who got to go in jail, and their charges deferred from 1 year in prison up to 3 years. And of course, as well, there was no any awareness, even within the civil society or people who identify as activists within the society and within communities or organizing communities. There was zero solidarity. Everybody was like, why would I support or help some faggots? Only one lawyer who passed away now, his name is Ahmed Saif al-Islam, the only lawyer who took it and who defended people in the Queen Boat. But people, they were having this discussion of, should I give my solidarity for some fags and some whores that they want to do whatever they want with their bodies and with their sexuality? I'd rather give my solidarity for essential rights, like the right of health or education or clean food. And here, this division is so stupid, in my opinion, it's so stupid, and it takes us only backwards. Everything needs to go continuously together. The right of having clear air, the right of eating, the right of bodily integrity, sexual orientation, gender, it all has to go simultaneously. But yeah, we hear a lot of this. I think it's everywhere, but now, because we're facing a lot of it, so it just makes me very, very angry. Of course, there are lots of changing taking place within the LGBT community. When you compare between 2001 and 2017, there's huge difference. Yet, we don't have really LGBT collective in terms of having a physical place. We don't have an organization that you can walk or drive to reach.
It's all online, that's number one, which makes sense because we are facing there, us and them and everyone are facing lots of challenges and lots of risks. It's not really a place where you know that you're going to get there and find a shelter or find the support or whatever. And maybe because we're still very, very new into this, when I compare it to other regions like East Africa, like Kenya, or even Southern Africa, people there are very progressive when it comes to organizing communities. They have shelters for trans individuals, they have shelters for elder LGBTIQs, etc. And I don't think we got into this yet. I think it's going to take time. And something very, very important to mention, unfortunately, is that those entities that are virtual and they do not really exist in a way that you can reach it in a materialistic world, except for certain events, except for certain occasions throughout the whole year. Yes, I wanted to mention something else about the minorities when you asked me for the LGBT arrest, when you asked me if they're going to keep arresting LGBT individuals or not. As I mentioned, it's one of the fascist tools to work on minorities, and one of the minorities as well are the Nubians. I'm not sure if you know this historical background. They are original people of indigenous Egyptians who lived in the south of Egypt, and they are definitely darker in a skin, and they don't have the privilege of the capitalist. And there was the Haina made by Nasser in the 60s, in the 50s, 60s, I can't remember. And they were forced to be immigrated, and it's a long, long story. And recently they are just protesting to ask for basic rights, and they were arrested. There was massive arrests, and even one guy died. He got into a hunger strike for 3-4 days, but because he was sick and he got this diabetes coma, and he lost his life. And the government did not stop arresting them or keeping them in jail, and did not listen that somebody is already dead. And they are not going to stop. They're going to look out for another minority that they are asking for, whatever they are asking for, and they're going to get into them. Coptics as well, because I don't know how to start about this, but this is like long, long story, and it's full of drama, and it's really completely injustice. To any political party. I started to read about anarchism like 15 or 14 years ago, and I was very interested. It made sense to me. And I was like, okay, so I don't have to be in any political party. I don't believe in what they are doing. Plus, I attended a few meetings, and it was extremely sexist, lesbophobe, and definitely, definitely, definitely classist and racist a little bit. So I was like, I had this idea of what's going on within the political sphere in Egypt, but I've never been acquainted to a certain political party. And then what happened is that I heard the calls for a big protest in 2011 in January, and it was the Eid al-Shurta, the police day, the day where Egyptians celebrate police. And I thought it's very amazing to protest in that day. And we started the 18 days, like millions of us, and it was very, very eye-opening, heart-opening, and as you said, full of possibilities and opportunities. But then things didn't really work well, because I remember first year we had this very, very high spirit, and we had all those potentials. In my case, personally, I thought I'm never going to do any work more with NGOs in the forms that they are. And now we have the revolution. I'd love to do sort of reformation, sort of adjusting or can I say, cleaning or using a different frame, because NGOs use a very capitalist frame, by the way. So it was this moment of we're gonna challenge everything. We're gonna do whatever we want. We're gonna give this and that and everything. But then 2013, there was this big bomb, this shock of course, there was the stage of having the Muslim Brotherhood in ruling Egypt, and that was so scary. There was so much agony and fear and disappointment. And then there was the coup of the military, and then things have changed completely. Now, we know we are between two vicious bullies, Muslim Brotherhood and military. And both of them are worse than the other. And both of them are not something to choose at all. But anyway, this is what happened. And I remember when it was 2014, when all these ideas and laws, drafts of new laws, and the civil society new law, and a lot of people got arrested for tweeting or for posting on Facebook, or some people were arrested from the subway because they spoke English. And it was this mania of fascism. Now it's going to show the real face of itself. It has to have masks in the beginning, so the very average Egyptian citizen could eat it. And now it's going to turn to be the true of itself. And that was very, very ugly. It created a lot of panic. A lot of people fled the country, specifically minorities. Lots of Coptic people left the country. Lots of LGBT individuals, lots of people of colors, those who could afford it, because when it comes to a color, we have to speak so much about class as well. And it definitely goes for other aspects as well as the sexual orientation or gender identity or religious views or whatever. Big dream and high hopes in 2011, and so much energy, and people leaving everywhere they have been to and coming back to Egypt to start those steps. And then going gradually through 2014 and 2015, where everything's going down, is extremely declining, and nothing could help it, nothing could be done. I remember that even when there was this, you have to get a permit so you can protest. I remember a couple of incidents where people tried to be good citizens between practice, and they went to get a permit for protesting, and they were arrested as well. So it was like there is no escape. Now you are under a fascist atmosphere. It's in the air, it's in the water, it's everywhere. It's poisonous. And if you have so much awareness, you're going to be extremely damaged by it. We are at the end of 2017. We're still going through this because now things are clear. Now people, when you walk into Egyptian streets during your daily errands, you see how people are disappointed and angry and sad and poor and broke, yet they cannot talk about it. Yet they cannot do anything about it. And they know deep inside of them that there's nothing could be done. And even some of us, whomever call themselves, I don't know, intellectuals or whatever, when sometimes we think, do you think something going to happen for this to change? And we know if there's something going to happen, it's going to be very brutal. It's going to be very, very bloody. And we're not sure if everybody could be part of it or not. Of course, it's one important rule that fascists use is isolating units. Is making sure that you feel alone and you feel isolated and you're not supported and maybe hated or neglected. It's a very important tool, because once they succeed of doing this, they know that we are not going to unite and create certain power to reach to what we want. So it's very important to make you feel paranoid, to make you feel isolated, to make you feel shut down, so you don't want to talk, so you don't want to share your opinions, and you feel like you want to leave or you want to quit what you're doing and start doing something else that is completely unrelated. So definitely they have this as a tool, and it is, unfortunately, it is working fine. It's working very good for their benefit, and it's affecting us in a way that no words could express. A lot of very, very good and beautiful minds are leaving the country. A lot of very, very beautiful and good minds and souls are collapsing, either to suicide or mental illness. And it's getting worse. And I don't think it's going to stop at a certain point. I'm not sure when. I can't see it myself.
So from complete opportunity and chances and wanting to change and going from here to there, we can do this, if the whole world is watching us, we can do it, to the moment after 7 years now, to the degree of, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to work about it, I don't want to have to do anything with it, I just want to live my life. And those who still have some sanity, others, they have lost their sanity. They are either too depressed. They are either in prison or killed themselves or got killed or downgraded or, of course, into addiction. Or in the last September and October, there were two individuals who committed suicide, and both of them very young. One was not even 29, and the other one was not even 20. And this is a little bit new for Egypt, this rate of suicide. But an action, of course, I overheard that that the Egyptian market has been presented to crystal meth, which is being cooked at home, and it's very, very, very cheap. And I'm not sure what's going to happen in the coming few years. And it's a lot of us in Egypt. We're over 100 million. And I really don't know, but we are in this point. We are in this point of complete, total disappointment. I need to-